We love you guys. Thank you for that. And I like the little drummer boy. That was really very creative, very nicely done. Thank you so much. What a way to start our holiday season off, right? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And so I just want to welcome everyone here. And as you can see, guess what? It's Christmas time coming. Look at this beautiful decorations. I just want to give a little Thanksgiving to our wonderful holiday decor team. I thought I was under the wonderful auspice leader of Scott Wallace. Oh, there's Scott over there. Wonderful Scott. Stand up, Scott. And, of course, his teammates. I know there were five other people who came to help. Please stand. I see you, Greg. I know you were there. Thank you, Gwen. Yes, thank you, Rev. Thank you, thank you. These wonderful souls came in yesterday and did their magic, and we're so appreciative because it looks beautiful. And we always invite anyone to come in when we put out a notification for help. Come on and help, because many hands make light work. And they did a beautiful job always of decorating our sanctuary for the holiday, holy day season. So thank you so much for that. I'm really, really appreciative of that. I also want to make a quick announcement that this is the final week for our adoptive family. And, you know, we take on, I think this time we took on 13 families. And I was told that we didn't have a lot of signups. And so we have lots of families who are expecting some blessings from us. So I have to remind myself to go up and sign up and, you know, pick the name of a child or an adult in a family and see if we can share, because I love that song. It says, my life is not my own, right? We're all here to be used. We're all here to give ourselves away, our time, our talent, our treasure, our essence, to give it out into the world, into the, you know, our community. So I know that they have tables out there, and it says the final date to select a family member is December 7th, which is today, and we still have 7 of the 12 families left to be adopted. So please stop by the table outside and adopt a family or a family member. All gifts purchased must be delivered to the church no later than Sunday, December 14th. So next Sunday, we're going to bring all of our gifts here, line them up. I'm glad that we're doing it this way this year. We used to do it that way, and then the pandemic had it such that we would just give out gift cards, which is lovely. But I like knowing that the kids are going to wake up, and they're going to have presents underneath their tree. So we'll bring all of our gifts to the church on Sunday. And we thank you in advance for your generosity and your commitment to supporting the families in need. And somebody, please help me remember to go out and sign up myself. If you don't want to, you know, give a gift, we also receive financial donations that we can use. So we give to the families. They can purchase food or whatever it is that they need. So we're thankful for everything that you give and that you share with our wonderful community. So I thank you in advance. And guess what? I want to welcome everybody, especially those of you who are joining us online. We thank you for your presence. We know that you are there sharing your light and your love. And anything that takes place in this ministry, you are all welcome to participate in as well. So we acknowledge you and your blessed spirit as we continue to hold our world as well as this church in prayer. You know, today is also a very special day. We have a lot going on, but that happens during the holiday season. There's always a lot going on. But today is a special day because today is Friends and Family Sunday. Friends and Family Sunday. And we want to honor both of these very essential and valuable groups of people in our lives. Because where would we be without friends and family, right? Or family and friends. We're truly blessed if we have both of them. So I just want to just take the time to acknowledge those congregants who actually invited friends or family to be with you today, to come here and to worship with us. Would you please stand if anyone invited a friend? I see. Thank you. Oh, that's Rev. Let's see. And your friends, please stand. The friends who are invited, if you invited friends and family. Wonderful. Wonderful. For our friends and family, thank you, thank you, thank you. We say welcome to all of you who are visiting with us and who have come today, and we say thank you because your spirit and your presence is really adding something to our experience this morning. It's adding to the energy and the love and the connection that already exists within this ministry. This is a very special place. It's a very special ministry. And your presence here is adding to that. You are blessing us, whether you are aware of that or not, but you're blessing us with your presence. And my prayer is that you leave here feeling loved, that you leave here feeling honored and recognized, that we are open and receptive to receiving your presence in the midst of us this morning on our Friends and Family Sunday. And we've actually prepared some special food, some wonderful food. We have a fabulous hospitality team, and they have prepared some food for you in your honor for being with us. And so we invite you to go downstairs after the service for fellowship, true fellowship, and some good food, because fellowship is good, but fellowship with food is better. So, you know, go downstairs and fellowship with us after the service so that we can greet you and offer our love and our thanksgiving for your presence here today. You know, more so than ever before, we need to be in community. We need to be in community with one another, whether it's family or whether it's with friends, maybe even neighbors, maybe even strangers, because this is a time where we are beginning to see our shared humanity, especially with everything that is taking place. We're beginning to see that, wait a minute, we are one. We belong to a greater group than just my individual family, my friends, but it's that communal, that community of friends and families, that we're all neighbors, we're all one with each other, and that we have a shared humanity. we see that whatever is taking place out there, you know, people are waking up and saying, wait a minute, that's my neighbor you're dragging off the street. Wait a minute, that's my coworker that you're locking up and separating. Wait a minute, that's my friend. Or wait a minute, that's somebody I don't even know. However, I know that what you're doing is not right. And so people are standing up and waking up to our shared humanity and our commitment to one another, and the willingness to give ourselves away and to stand up for each other and to share our bounty and our blessings with one another. And that's one of the things that I really love about the holiday season, is because people seem to be more open than ever before. They are more open and willing to bless another. They're more open and willing to come from the heart. They're more open and willing to pour into someone else. As I was coming up the hallway, I looked into our room where we're storing food that we will take to the food banks. And I looked in and I said, oh, that's lovely. Because I could see all the food of condiments and rice and whatever else is in there that you all have provided. So I thank you for that. But we're open. This is the season where somehow or another our hearts feel that we must give ourselves away. We must open up. So there's and not just to our small circle, but we're open up to everyone and everyone, because there's an energy. There's an energy and there's a vibe that is released during this time of year. We can all feel it. It's a vibe that says, yes, during this Christmas season, this Christmas holiday, this Christmas time, this holy time, there's a time for us to somehow open up to something greater than just our individual lives, our individual
world of what's happening. And so we're open to this place, what I call spiritually, we begin to open to the unveiling of spirit, of the Christ consciousness, of the Christ spirit, the spirit that is available to everybody, that regardless of one's religion, one's spiritual practice, this energy of the Christ consciousness is available to all. And it's the time of year that this universal energy begins to come into our awareness as people on the planet, whether we celebrate Christmas or not. The energy, the universal energy of the Christ begins to bubble up and people are tuned into it. And maybe they won't call it the Christmas season, but they'll call it the holiday season, where people are, you know, just wishing everybody happy holidays, regardless of your religious affiliation. Just be happy, happy holidays, happy and well-being, good seasoning for you. You know, so it's really great, this universal essence that talks about the divinity of all, this divine essence that lies within every man, woman, and child, that lies within every living being. The scripture says it's the light that came into the world, the light that lights every man, woman, and child. Everybody has this light. Everybody has this spirit. And this is the season that we are all somehow being pulled and called to express it more. We call it the Christ, that's all. It, you know, others may call it something else, but it's the same spirit. But we call it the Christ, which is that highest perfect pattern for humankind in the sight of God. The Christ is that perfect pattern for humanity, for the individual soul that is held in the mind of God. We call it the Christ, but all possess it. Everyone has access to it. We just have to release it. We have to find it, release it, uncover it. I like to say uncover and not discover, because it's already there. We need to uncover this spirit. We need to allow it to express it, right? To give rise to it, because it lies within every one of us. And the Christmas or the Christmas season or this holiday season, this holy season, is when it is ripe to do it. It's ripe for expression. Even the people who might want to say the Grinch, be like a Grinch or bah humbug, eventually they got to open up to the joy, to the magic, to the lights, to the promise. It's a wonderful time, because during this time, the shroud of our human consciousness is more receptive. It's more receptive to our higher consciousness, where the human consciousness, our human minds, our egos, our personalities, all of that is subject to a higher consciousness of who we are, a higher revelation of how we have been created and how we function, this higher consciousness, or what we would call the Christ consciousness. It's all around us. And during this season, we are actually preparing, the energy is preparing us for the uncovering and the expression and the revelation and the birth of this Christ energy, this divine energy. And we have been given 4 weeks to prepare for this uncovering and this revelation, this releasing that we might experience on the joy of Christmas morning. You know, on Christmas Day. And we call it, in the Christian tradition, the Advent season. That is Advent, right? The time in which we take to prepare for this birth. And traditionally, Advent is celebrated on 4 Sundays, the 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas morning. And the word Advent means coming or arrival. So the Advent is the coming or the arrival of this divine presence, right? It's the coming or the arrival or the preparation that is needed to prepare for the coming or the arrival of the Christ. So we have like 4 weeks. We've been given 4 weeks to prepare ourselves for this great coming, for this great expression. And there are themes, 4 themes for each of the Sundays: hope, peace, joy and love, and some people say hope, peace, love, and joy, whichever one you like, but hope, peace, joy, and love. And I'm thinking, boy, we surely need those qualities right about now. Don't we? Yes, we do. We need all of them because it's so important for us to recognize that there's a greater purpose and a greater energy that is being expressed than the one that we see right now in our particular country and in the world too, because there's still some shenanigans not just going on here in the U.S., but there's shenanigans going all around the world. And so we need these wonderful qualities of being, peace, hope, joy, love, right? All of that. And I thought, well, let's start with hope. Last Sunday was the first Sunday of Advent, actually, and so it was about hope. But we're going to start with hope today. Because I said, somewhere a child is hoping. Somewhere a child is hoping that they're going to get what? Some good presents on Christmas. But did you ever hope when you were a child? I know Christmas was, I mean, we were so, my brother and I were so excited. We couldn't sleep about what awaited us in the morning. And we knew it was going to be good. And so we were hoping. So somewhere, some child is hoping that something good is going to show up for them on Christmas morning. Somewhere, some adult is hoping right now. And they might not be hoping for some toys under the tree, but maybe they're hoping. They're hoping that they might have maybe enough to get by. Or maybe they're hoping, you know, if they've lost a job, they might be hoping for a new job. Or they might be hoping for a way to be made out of no way. Or maybe they're just hoping that their wishes and their dreams and their desires and their needs will be met. Some adult is hoping, and it may be some of you right here, right now, that are hoping. Somebody's hoping to be healed. Somebody is hoping for their manifestation of their heart's desires. A few people might be hoping that this nightmare, this political nightmare that we are experiencing would be over. Some of us are hoping for that. Sometimes I find myself hoping, I hope I live long enough to see justice done, to see an end to all this craziness, and that those who are perpetuating it and reveling in it and calling it forth, that somehow, you know, I'm hoping that I get to see that they understand that their behavior and their thoughts and their hearts have consequences. I'm hoping that I see that. It may not this, I don't know. But I still have hope. I have hope. I'm not hoping for the harm of anybody, but I am hoping for the cessation of all that nonsense that they're putting forth, right? And so this is a season for us to really understand the qualities of hope. Now, in a more serious tone, while it's good to have hope, but if that hope is based on a wish, then that's pretty iffy. Or if that hope is based solely on a desire, even though a desire might be a little bit better than a wish, that's still not enough. That's still not strong enough. That hope is not strong enough, right? It's not sure enough. It's not clear enough if my hope is based on a wish or even a desire. Mm-mm. We need a different kind of hope. We need a hope that is tied to something that gives us assurance. We need a hope that is tied to, or maybe that is turned into something even deeper than hope itself, which is faith. We need that kind of a hope. The scripture says in Hebrews 11, this is what it says in the NIV version, the New International Version. It says, when talking about faith, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And the King James Version, which probably most of us are more familiar with, puts it this way. Now faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. And it says that it is the evidence of things not seen. But I like the way the Message puts it. The Message says it this way. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we cannot see. When I read that, I said, ooh, that's deep. That's deep, right? It takes everything, those first two versions, when it talked about those two things of confidence, of substance, of assurance, things that are hoped for. It took all of that and it rolled it into this statement, this very fundamental fact of our existence, which is this, trust in God. And it is this firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. The fact that you are here is cause enough for you to trust in God. Right? The fact that we exist, so this fundamental fact of our existence is enough for us to say we should trust in God. And then the definition then says, and this very God lies under everything that makes life worth living. Everything that makes life worth living. What is it that makes your life worth living? Is it things? Is it qualities of being? Is it your connection and your closeness to God, to the divine? What is it that makes your life? Is it hope, peace, love, joy? What makes your life worth living? And so when I was thinking of this, I said, wow, this is a powerful definition of hope and faith. Right? It's the substance of God, but it's more than that. And so when the Bible says, rather, that my hope, this is the kind of hope we're talking about. When the Bible says that my hope is in God, it's not just some wishy-washy thing or some desire. My hope is in God. And it comes from Psalms 62, verse 5, that says, rest in God alone, O my soul. For my hope comes from him. Rest in God alone, O my soul, for my hope comes from him. So when I recognize this definition from the Message of what faith is about and what hope is about, I love that they say it's the fundamental fact of existence that is this trust in God. So it equates our existence along with trust in God. And this trust in God, this existence that we have, and that God is, becomes the firm foundation of everything that makes life worth living. That's some powerful stuff. So my hope is really deep because it says, wow, it is to trust in God. Not a wishy-washy thing, but to trust in God, a God that makes everything worthwhile living. It carries all this hope, this trust in God, this faith, this foundation behind everything that is good, that makes life worth living, is all of the goodness I can think about, all of the hopes that I might have. It's all of the things that are necessary for me to have and to live a blessed life, a good life, a godly life, a fulfilled life, a prosperous life, a healthy life, whatever. All of that is contained in this hope that God is and brings, that I can now what? Trust in. That's some good stuff. And so if this is true, and I say that it is, then my hope in God is more than a wishy-washy desire. It's something that I can expect. I can expect it. And while hope is certainly, you know, good, especially if we're hoping in God, but expectation takes it one step further. So I'm trying to get even beyond hope. Because expectation is hope on steroids, right? I can hope, but when I expect, there's a little different vibration that I am unleashing when I have an expectation in God is also my hope in God. So my definition, I've shared this all the time, for hope is a positive expectation of good, a positive expectation of God. So when I'm hoping in something, I have a positive expectation that the goodness that God is going to show up, is going to manifest, is going to reveal itself, right? In some way, whatever the situation it is that I'm hoping for and expecting God to work. So when I hope, I expect. When I hope, I expect. And when I realize that my hope may be faltering a little bit, I say, well, what are you expecting? See, when I recognize that I got a little doubt going on, or I got a little negativity going on, or so, what are you expecting? And so I have to check myself, right? I'm like, well, now, is that what you're expecting? No. So then you need to change it. Come around. When I hope, I expect. Let me hear you affirm, when I hope, I expect.
When I hope, I expect.
That's right. And when you expect, there is no doubt. You can't expect something and then doubt that it's going to come at the same time. That doesn't work. So when you have an expectation, which is hope on steroids, you can have no doubt. You expect it. You are assured of it. You are convicted of it. You have confidence in it. That's what it says in the other definitions, right? It is your conviction, the confidence in things hoped for. Well, you got confidence in things that you are expecting. So the question for you this morning is, what are you expecting in your life right now? What are you expecting? Can you see it? Because if you expect something, you ought to be able to see it in its fullness, right? Because that's what you're I'm expecting it to show up like this, that, and the other. Can you taste it? If you have an expectation, can you taste it? Meaning, can you feel it? You know, if I have a good expectation, oh, I'm feeling it. I'm tasting it. I'm seeing it, right? Can you rejoice in it before it even shows up? When you have a good expectation, you are ready to celebrate. You're rejoicing whether it has manifested yet or not. You rejoice in the thing that you are hoping for, but you rejoice and celebrate the thing that you expect. Can you get there before it even comes? Are you anticipating? See, I'm not just wishing, I'm anticipating. That means everything in my being is ready to receive it. I'm excited about it. It's happening. So if you're not doing or feeling those things, then you're stuck in the simple wishing and wanting and desiring and hoping on the limited level of hope. You're just wishing that it would come. Children wish for things. But awakened souls, enlightened souls, masterful metaphysicians expect good things. We expect miracles. Why? Because we know that when we trust in God, what? All things are possible. We can expect. We move beyond, our childish just wishing to our full-blown knowing and expecting. And we expect that this God that we are now trusting in and expecting, this God that's the God that is the author and the creator and the sustainer and the giver of life and everything that makes life worthwhile, is right here doing a mighty work in my life and in my affairs, and presenting me with these wonderful gifts of the Spirit, like the Advent gifts, right? Hope and peace and love and joy. And so this Advent season is a time for us to prepare our consciousness, This is a time when we want to sit down and we really want to be serious about what is happening in our hearts and our minds. This is a season because the energy is ripe for it. More so than ever before, the season of the Christmas, the Christmas, more at Christ. The Christmas season is upon us, meaning we can open up. It's available more than ever to our conscious awareness. And so we want to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ, right? We want to prepare ourselves for the arrival, which is what Advent means, the coming, the arrival, the expectation, the excitement, the anticipation. The wise men, they knew something was happening. Mary was told she was expecting. Joseph even, they all had to expect this coming and this arrival. And they had to move beyond doubt. They had to move beyond fear. They had to move beyond limitations of what is supposed to happen. Joseph had to say, well, okay, I don't know how this happened. I didn't do it, but okay, let's go with it. And Mary had to say, well, I don't know what happened either, but okay, I'm with it. Right? There's an expectation and a hope for this birth of the unexpected. But when we move into the expectation that God is available and present and working everything out, even when it looks like it's no way that this thing can come about, we have to expect it. And we trust in this process, and we can trust in this essence that we call God. So we're prepared. We got 4 weeks to really do some inner work. And, you know, we're talking the 4 weeks, the number four, spiritually and metaphysically, it just simply means the spiritual time necessary for something to come about. So any derivative of four, 44, 40, 40 days, 40 nights, right? So we've got 4 weeks to really get into this. Let me prepare myself for the coming of my blessings. Let me prepare my consciousness and my heart and my mind for the arrival of my good. If you're expecting some good, be prepared for it. If you're expecting rain, you need to what? Go outside with what? An umbrella. If you're expecting it. So we're going to use this time, this season of Advent, to prepare ourselves, our hearts and minds, for the arrival and the coming of this Christ child, this Christ energy, the unfolding of Christ spirit, Christ consciousness in our lives, bringing us hope and peace and joy and love. So this season, these 4 weeks, it's time for us to get clear. Get clear on what you are expecting. What are your expectations? So if I come up to you and I say to you, what are you expecting? I want you to be able to tell me. Don't go, well, I don't know, whatever. Well, that's what you're going to get, whatever. Get clear on your expectations. Because your expectations are what you are saying. Prove God, let me just prove God yourself that you are working in my life. I'm expecting your presence to show up in my life as this, that, and the other. So use this time. Name your expectations. I've been doing this. I got a few things that I'm expecting, that I'm working with. And I'm flipping it around to, well, not these are not things that I just want. These are things that I'm expecting. And I'm giving myself permission to expect it. Right? To step into it full force, to name these things, to hold it in your heart and your mind and your consciousness. So what are you hoping in God for? What are you trusting in God for? And name it. Be clear on it. Because God is able. God is able. What are you desiring to be assured of? What are you confident in? What are you trusting God for? And so I just say, you know, this is a time for you to expect the best and leave the rest. Expect the best and leave the rest. That's what it says. So once you start tuning into what your expectations are and you notice that you got some other things over here, leave those. Leave your fears. Leave your doubts. Leave your comments about what's impossible. Leave all of that and just expect that the presence of power of God, this very God that created the universe, the sun and the stars and the moon, this God that is keeping everything in order, this God that is keeping everything in your life that is unfolding, this God that knows the very hairs on your head, this God, you are expecting this God to do its mighty work in you. So expect the best and leave the rest, because there's no room for doubt when you expect. So I'm going to invite you to join us next week as we look into some of these other gifts of Advent. But one of the things that I'm saying is that I'm expecting you to be there. I'm expecting you as well. Those of you that are online, I'm expecting you. If online is your thing, I'm expecting you to be online next week and to put forth your consciousness, your sharing, your joy. I have great expectations for all of you and for my being as well. So let's get ready. We are in the Advent season. Blessings, blessings, blessings.